of Prime Minister Errol Sharon's Likud Party wins a decisive victory in general elections, with the opposition Labour Party vowing to fight on.
Safety of our people.
U.S. President George W. Bush, in his annual State of the Union address, called for the U.N. Security Council to consider Iraq's violation of U.N. resolutions. A South Korean presidential envoy returns home from Pyongyang after 3 days waiting in vain for a meeting with top leader Kim Jong-il of the DPRK. And the EU foreign ministers reaffirmed their commitment to forging stronger ties with ASEAN nations. Good evening and welcome to Worldwide Watch. I'm Ji Xiaojun in Beijing. We begin in Israel, where Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is on his way to achieving a decisive victory in that country's general election. Partial results from Tuesday's poll show Sharon's Likud party, as well as other hawkish parties, easily winning most seats in parliament. David Rothman has more.
Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon said on Tuesday he would try to establish a broad-based coalition of all Zionist parties following his party's victory in the general election.
Israel needs unity, Israel needs stability, Israel needs both before the crisis gets even deeper.
But Sharon did not mention the rival party Labour by name and did not offer any policy incentives that might persuade that party's leader, Imran Mitzna, to renege on his campaign promise not to join a Sharon government. And Mitzna, conceding defeat on Tuesday, did not appear to be in a conciliatory mood, vowing to lead a fight against the Likud party.
It is not embarrassing to be in the opposition. I promise you, we will be there for a short time. Sharon hopes the Labour Party will again be the fig leaf for his failing policies, but we don't plan on joining him. We plan to replace him.
The former Prime Minister and Labour Party member, Shimon Peres, also voiced patience for party faithful, saying Labour will be stronger in the future, since this election did not solve the real problems of Israel. Exit polls showed Likud winning 36 seats in the 120-member parliament, whereas the opposition Labour Party was projected to post its worst-ever showing with 18 seats. The opposition Shinui Party was projected to pick up 14 seats, poised to become the third strongest political force in Israel. David Rapin, CCTV.
In this expected election victory, Israel's Likud party gained control of an estimated 36 seats in the 120-member Knesset. The party's leader, current Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, becomes the political number one, with the right to form the country's 30th government. Within 7 days of the official publication of the results next Wednesday, Sharon will be appointed Prime Minister again to head the cabinet.
Ariel Sharon is an army general turned politician. During his army life, which began in 1942, he participated in various operations and also served as defense minister in the controversial Lebanese War of 1982. After retiring from the army, Sharon helped Menachem Begin establish the Likud party in 1973 by grouping various right-wing parties together. Also in 1973, Sharon was elected for the first time into the Knesset, initiating his long-term political career. Then he also served as defense minister and foreign minister in various Israeli governments. In September 1999, Sharon was elected to lead the Likud party. In March 2001, Sharon was elected Israeli prime minister. During his tenure, Sharon established a coalition government with the left-wing Labour Party to carry out his own political plans. The Sharon-led government has succeeded in isolating Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat and strengthened ties with the US. Meanwhile, Sharon weakened the Labour Party's influence and support from the public by absorbing the party into his hawkish government. Sharon has emphasized two indispensable principles for any peace initiative: an absolute comprehensive end to terrorism and a thorough reform of the Palestinian National Authority, or PNA, including the replacement of Arafat as the PNA leader. Sharon claims that only if the two conditions are met will Israel accept the establishment of a fully demilitarized Palestinian state, without fixed borders and with limited sovereignty. Sharon has agreed to reach a final status agreement with the Palestinians by political dialogue, but stressed that Israel would link progress with actual developments on the ground, not to a fixed timetable.
In a show of determination, U.S. President George W. Bush has made his case against Iraqi President Saddam Hussein in support of his plan to wage war against the Gulf state. In his annual State of the Union address on Wednesday, Bush accused Iraq of violating UN resolutions and vowed to lead a coalition to disarm Saddam. As Wang Xing reports, many believe that his message has brought war on Iraq ever closer.
Speaking to the American Congress and the global audience, U.S. President George W. Bush devoted one-third of his address to building charges against Iraq and its leader, President Saddam Hussein.
The dictator of Iraq is not disarming. To the contrary, he is deceiving. Evidence from intelligence sources, secret communications, and statements by people now in custody reveal that Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
Bush's charges against Iraq range from supporting terrorism, suggesting it is likely to launch terror attacks against the U.S., to systematically violating the UN resolutions. He said Saddam has not accounted for a list of banned weapons in the current UN inspections in utter contempt for the UN.
This morning's speech of the State of the Union actually indicates that Bush's very strong determination to go to the war against Iraq and his determination to get rid of Saddam Hussein.
Bush vowed the U.S. will lead a campaign to disarm Iraq if Saddam refuses to surrender his weapons of mass destruction. And in an ever-strong tone, he added that America's course of action does not depend on the decisions of others.
We will consult. But let there be no misunderstanding. If Saddam Hussein does not fully disarm, for the safety of our people and for the peace of the world, we will lead a coalition to disarm him.
The UN Security Council is still something he needs to consider. The U.S. will ask its members to convene next Wednesday where fresh intelligence evidence will be presented on Iraq's weapons programs. But experts suggest that does not mean a UN authorization is a must for Bush.
They will continue to try to get support from the UN Security Council, but that does not mean they will not go to the war if the UN Security Council do not agree with that.
Bush's address has brought a war with Iraq closer than ever. But whether it will be a coalition within the UN framework or something of its own making won't be known until U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell presents the new evidence to the Security Council next week. CCTV.
Iraq's Vice President Taha Yassin Ramadan on Tuesday reacted to the UN Weapons Inspector's report to the Security Council turned in on Monday. He spoke out full of criticism for the United States, accusing it of endangering an entire nation by falsifying facts. Tom Cliff has more.
Speaking in an interview with the Middle East Broadcasting Center on Tuesday, Ramadan commented on whether the report would be a catalyst for war.
I don't see it as a path to peace or to war. But I ask, were these two men honest and truthful in what they reported? I wish they had been more truthful and not bowed to pressure, particularly Mr. Blix from the Americans.
Blix's assessment was more damning than IAEA Director General Baradei's. Ramadan went on to say that if America goes to war with Iraq, they will certainly be defeated, as the Iraqi people believe in what they are fighting for. Preempting George Bush's State of the Union accusation that Saddam Hussein's regime is evil, Ramadan claimed to be more powerful than the evil U.S. administration. Meanwhile, Iraq's presidential advisor, General Amir Rashid, pledged that Iraq will cooperate fully with UN inspectors. He said that Iraq will provide some explanations as to the location or destruction of weapons of concern, like the deadly VX nerve gas. The unaccounted for disappearance of such agents has been the greatest criticism raised by the UN inspectors. Tom Cliff, CCTV.
You're watching Worldwide Watch. We'll be right back. A South Korean presidential envoy returns home from Pyongyang after 3 days waiting in vain for a meeting with top leader Kim Jong-il of the DPRK. EU foreign ministers reaffirm their commitment to forging stronger ties with ASEAN nations.
In the name of peace, the United States will lead a coalition of the willing to disarm the Iraqi regime.
Republic of Korea presidential envoy Lim Jong-un returned home from Pyongyang on Wednesday, where he stayed for 3 days without meeting DPRK leader Kim Jong-il. However, the envoy said Kim had accepted a message on the nuclear crisis from the South's president. Fong Li takes a look at the South's latest bid to mediate a peaceful end to the crisis over the North's nuclear ambitions.
The envoy returned to Seoul on Special Presidential Flight Air Force 3 with 7 other delegates. The director went to the presidential office to inform Kim Dae-jung of the result of their trip. At a news conference after his return, Lim Jong-un said his host told him Kim Jong-il was touring the provinces and was unable to meet the delegation, but had expressed gratitude for the visit. Lim read statements from the DPRK officials who met him during his visit to Pyongyang.
We are grateful for President Kim's explanation and warm-hearted recommendation, and we will evaluate the details of his recommendation and get back to him later.
The statement went on to say that pursuing dialogue between the DPRK and the United States is the only way to resolve the nuclear crisis, and that the DPRK were ready for any U.S. inspection. Lim was sent to Pyongyang on Monday to seek a possible way to defuse the nuclear standoff triggered by the DPRK's recent withdrawal from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Lim Jong-un also met with Kim Yong-nan, chairman of the presidium of the DPRK's Supreme People's Assembly, early on Tuesday, to discuss the nuclear issue and other matters of mutual concern. From the CCTV.
A group of South Koreans held an anti-war rally in front of the Defense Ministry in Seoul to protest U.S. policy on the DPRK. About 20 protesters chanted various anti-war slogans and burnt photographs of the South Korean and U.S. defense ministers on Tuesday. They depicted U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld as a vampire hungry for war. The protest leaders said any nuclear threat by the DPRK is a fabrication of the United States. About 37,000 U.S. troops are now based in South Korea to maintain its presence in the Northeast Asia. The United States is constantly locked in a standoff with the DPRK over its nuclear program. Pyongyang says it will only discuss the crisis with Washington, and U.S. says it will talk but not negotiate. Japanese Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi says he will pay a visit every year to the Yasukuni Shrine, infamous in many areas of Asia for honoring war criminals. But Koizumi said on Tuesday that his visits to the shrine are meant to pay